I don't know about you, but I am often talking to entrepreneurs, and when they tell me some kind of challenge or problem that they're facing right now, I think, oh, you know what? I had a similar conversation with somebody for my podcast, and it explains exactly what you should do right now. And one of the episodes that I go back to so often, this is why I love making this show, is this episode about SimpliSafe and how SimpliSafe had to rethink who its actual customer is. I tell this story so often to people. I tell it on stage when people ask a question. It's just something that keeps coming up. So today, I want to replay for you this episode of Problem Solvers. It ran originally in November of 2018, but it is as relevant to so many entrepreneurs today as it was then. Enjoy.
From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Take the leap. You hear that phrase often in entrepreneurship. I'm sure I've said it like a gazillion times. Take the leap. You don't just sit on the sidelines, take the leap. But you know, there's a problem with the phrase take the leap. You know what it is? It's the word the. Take the leap. This is going to get a little esoteric here, but stay with me. The leap is singular. There's only one leap. That's what T-H-E means. You don't say the Pope unless there's only one Pope. Otherwise, it would just be a Pope, one of many Popes. So when we say take the leap, we're saying there's only one leap. We take it, we land on the other side, and we're there. Now, with that in mind, I want to play you a little audio from a guy I talked to recently. He'd launched a company, then discovered that he'd completely misread the marketplace, and he was now contemplating a very large change to the business.
The data seemed very clear, and the analysis seemed very clear. The scary part was the sort of taking a second leap, if the first was kind of founding the original business, the second was in re-architecting it, given everything that we learned.
The second leap. That jumped out at me when I heard him say that. The second leap. Because, of course, yes, he's right. There are multiple leaps. You don't just start a company and then slow walk it to success. You have to take big risks all the time. And by the way, I should introduce this man of many leaps.
My name is Chad Lawrence, and I am a co-founder of SimpliSafe.
SimpliSafe is a home alarm system that was originally designed for and marketed to people who were renting apartments. And for reasons we'll get into in this episode, the company decided to pivot into serving homeowners. It would be the company's second leap, the first being to go into business in the first place, and the second to completely reorient who they were as a company.
The most stressful part of the decision was the amount of investment that was required to do it. In our time, resources, focus, that was the stressful piece of it. This was not a small change. This required re-architecting our entire platform. It required years of development work. It required retooling every piece of marketing, and sort of rethinking so many fundamental premises that we built everything on up until that point.
What does it take to survive that second leap? How do you know if you're up to the task? How do you know if another leap is even in your future? How to wrap your head around the leap? That is what we're going to explore in this episode of Problem Solvers as Chad explains how SimpliSafe totally rethought what it was and who it was for. It was a radical transformation for his company, but ultimately, as you'll come to see, the leap really landed. Or did it, in fact? That's the big question, and we're going to get into it all right after the break. If you like Problem Solvers, and I assume you do, then I want to let you know about another great business podcast that I'm sure you'll enjoy. It's called Rocketship.fm. Rocketship.fm has brought stories and advice to the startup community for the last 6 years and has just launched season 8 of the show, which will focus on something absolutely perfect for people who love solving problems. It is a season all about product failures. It happens to everyone, and yet no one wants to talk about it until now. They are diving into the backstory of some of the biggest product mistakes from eBay, Google Plus, remember that, Amazon, American Airlines, and more. Hear from people who were behind the scenes, what they learned, and in some cases, what it took to actually turn things around. In a world where you're always hearing about what worked, what about companies that didn't? Subscribe to rocketship.fm today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, we're back. So to understand SimpliSafe's second leap, we of course need to first follow its original leap. And that story begins back in 2006 when Chad was in college and dreaming of starting a business, but just couldn't figure out what he wanted to do.
And in that moment, three of my friends were burglarized. And each of them had this terrible experience where they felt vulnerable, very upset by this experience, and they wanted to do something about it. All of them started talking about getting a home security system, but none of them did. And I had the same conversation, it seemed, with each of them, that they contacted the traditional home security companies, and they felt that it was almost a worse experience to go through trying to get an alarm system.
There were all sorts of problems. Aggressive sales tactics, long-term contracts, a salesperson actually had to come to someone's home and look around. And some companies wouldn't talk to renters because they were renters, not owners. And Chad hears this and thinks, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here. So he starts investigating the industry and sees that it's very much based on an old technology. Decades ago, setting up an alarm system meant snaking wires through walls and figuring out the best place to put sensors. It was a high-tech, complicated job, and so the industry evolved around that complication. Companies weren't focused on customer service because, frankly, they didn't need to be. It was like the cable companies today. You know, there weren't that many options, and people felt like they needed the service, so customers were taken for granted. And this is also why the industry didn't focus on renters. The cost of installation was often beyond what any renter would want to pay, and installing required construction work that renters may not even have had the authority to approve. But by 2006, when Chad is looking into all this, technology had radically evolved. I mean, you didn't need a wire to go from one thing to another anymore, and that kind of changes the game. So, leap number one, he begins developing the technology for a wireless home security system.
I mean, we've created a completely wireless security system with a whole array of sensors, from door and window sensors to motion, glass break, smoke, carbon monoxide, water, temperature, panic buttons, the keypad by your door. Everything is completely wireless, and even the connection back to our servers and our alarm monitoring center is wireless as well. It uses a cellular connection.
And Chad is thinking, this product will be designed for the customer that all the other home security systems are overlooking. He's going for the renter, the white space, the overlooked customer. And so the product itself that he made was made with renters in mind. The alarm system, for example, the alarm itself wasn't all that loud because it was designed for small apartment spaces, and the sensors would all communicate to only one base because, you know, who has two main doors in an apartment?
I think our tagline at the time was home security for city living. And, you know, every page said something about how this was the perfect system for apartment renters. The original box had kind of apartment graphics on it, images of apartment scenes.
And when SimpliSafe launched in 2008, when it took that first leap, it had some success. People bought the product. They liked it. The company was inching towards profitability, which would make some founders very, very happy. But Chad felt like something was wrong.
The problem really was that things were going pretty slowly. The growth wasn't as strong as we wanted it to be, and it really felt like we were headed toward this middling outcome where we could spend years and years and maybe decades and not have too much to show for it. And I think that can be one of the hardest problems to face because, you know, when it's obvious that you're failing, you know you have to take action. And when you're having a great success, like, you know, you want to keep doing more of what you're doing. But this was one of those problems where it gives you a little bit of pause because you have something to lose. You could change what you're doing, and you can make things worse. And you've got this kind of fledgling business and it's in a kind of fragile state, and you worry about breaking even what you have.
I asked Chad, how did he know he didn't just have a business that was going to grow slowly? Because, you know, it's not like slow growth is failure. He'd built a product and identified a new market, and sometimes that just takes time. Entrepreneurship may be about pushing hard, but it's also about patience. Now, one answer could be that investors are pressuring a company to grow at a certain level. That's definitely a downside to taking investor money. They push for that fast scale. But in this case, SimpliSafe had basically bootstrapped itself, so investors weren't an issue. Instead, interestingly, Chad felt something was off because of his customers. Everyone at the company, including him, was taking customer support calls, and he did thousands of them himself. And what he and his team saw was that once a customer actually bought the product and installed it at home, they loved it. They were happy with the service, the company, the whole thing. They were super enthusiastic, and they wanted even more services and products from SimpliSafe. And that just didn't jive with what was happening in sales. There was clearly a disconnect happening. If customers were so happy, there should be more of them, right? And fast. So what's going on? Now, at this point, SimpliSafe had been on the market for about a year, so it started diving into its year's worth of customer data. Who was buying? Were there any patterns that suggested new opportunities? And yes, in fact, the company found a big insight almost right away.
We found out that even though we were marketing so much to renters, about half of our customers were homeowners.
Ooh, and there it is. He built a company for renters, but renters weren't buying in the way that he expected them to. Instead, homeowners were buying. And although they liked the product wasn't actually made for them. I mean, remember all those things built specifically for renters, like the alarm that wasn't too loud because it would be in a small apartment? This could be the problem, SimpliSafe realized. It had stumbled into its true marketplace, but it wasn't optimizing it. And how were these homeowners even finding SimpliSafe? Turns out it was word of mouth. A renter must have told a homeowner who told another homeowner who told another. It began spreading, which meant SimpliSafe's marketing campaign to renters was basically worthless. I mean, it wasn't driving enough sales from renters, and it wasn't driving any of the sales that were coming from homeowners. Chad and his team sat back and thought about what this meant. If homeowners were the natural buyers for their service, that meant, well, that they had a lot of work in front of them. Now, you can really appreciate what Chad had said at the beginning of this episode.
This was not a small change. This required re-architecting our entire platform. It required years of development work. It required retooling every piece of marketing and sort of rethinking so many fundamental premises that we built everything on up until that point.
But the data was clear. To really thrive, SimpliSafe had to take another leap, the second leap. It had to rethink everything.
So at the time, we basically had three main areas of the business, kind of product, marketing, and operations. And in all three areas, we basically, each group had to go back to challenge kind of some of the fundamental premises that they'd been building on for the past few years.
So let's go through some of it, because it's actually really interesting to hear how a simple change like this, going from one consumer to another, can reverberate throughout an entire company. So first, the obvious one, marketing. That tagline on their website said, "Home security for city living." That was going to have to go. The customers are in the suburbs now. So SimpliSafe had to rethink the language and the imagery and just really overcorrect and swing hard towards homeowners in order to shake off this old perception that it was only for renters. I mean, consider it, every piece of PR for the last year was about how the company was for renters. Now they really needed to make a statement otherwise. Photos of homes, language about owning homes. SimpliSafe made it all very clear. Now, next. Product. SimpliSafe had been collecting customer feedback since it launched, so it had a pretty good idea of the products and services the customers felt was lacking. Like, for example, the volume of the alarm. You gotta make that louder for a bigger home. Got it? Easy. Check. Though importantly, Chad also wanted to make sure that he understood what not to change.
So there was something that was really working for them. And that can be a little bit harder to suss out. People really are pretty good about telling you what they don't like. Sometimes it's harder to figure out what are the little product details that are working great for them.
And you don't want to change the stuff that this new customer already liked, right? So here's an example. SimpliSafe has a base, like the keypad that's by a front door and beeps when you come in. And that was never connected to anything. It wasn't wired in. It was just a totally remote thing. Now, with a home, you could wire it in. Maybe you would even want to wire it in. It's very standard in the industry. But wiring it in means that installation is more complicated, and SimpliSafe was finding that easy installation was one of its selling points. So do not change that. It's a home, it's an apartment, it doesn't matter. You keep that keypad floating. Now, what about the specific services that SimpliSafe provides? At the time, SimpliSafe was only doing home security. It was just like, you know, about whether somebody had entered your doors or windows. It didn't do smoke or carbon monoxide detection. And that's because, you know, in part, that's complicated to develop and renters should already have those things in their apartments. But now we're talking about homeowners. SimpliSafe had the opportunity here to kind of wrap all that stuff in together. And so it started building its own detection devices. Now, the first generation of this new homeowner-specific SimpliSafe, that came out in 2010. But that isn't the end of the story.
That whole process of redesigning from, you know, that we kicked off back in 2010 has in many ways continued through to just the beginning of this year.
And this here is really the most important part of this story. The years that followed would bring a lot of fast growth to SimpliSafe, giving the company exactly what it was lacking back in those early days. Chad tells me that the company now protects 2 million Americans, that it's the fastest growing alarm company in the country, and that 70% of its customers are new to home security, which means that it's really expanding the market rather than just taking market share away from someone else. But remember, this isn't just about how to turn a company around or how to make it grow faster. We are looking at the story of Chad and SimpliSafe as a way to understand multiple leaps. There's the first leap, starting the business, and the second leap, changing the business. But if we can get philosophical for a second, and I know I did it at the beginning of the episode, so might as well do it at the end. What does a leap look like? Like, is it when the leap is over? Is that the leap? Does it end when you land somewhere? I posed that question in a way to Chad, and I just want you to listen to his answer and how long and winding it is and how many different phases and changes are packed into it.
How long did the shift take? How, like, from start to finish, when did you feel like you had reoriented yourself in the way that you needed to?
I think it probably took about three or more years. We started in on some of the marketing work right away, but it took a long time for us to figure out the messaging and to shake that prior label as an apartment system. And it was a good 2 years of product development to get our second generation system out the door, which really let us start serving homeowners in much greater volumes. So it was probably a good three or four years. In some ways, I'd say, you know, that was to be able to be really serving the greater opportunity, and that did lead to a significant amount of growth. And in another way, I'd say we actually just finished it now. You know, this year, it's you know, 7-8 years later, and you know, we just launched the third generation of our platform and our biggest rebrand of our marketing in the history of the company this year, actually, back in January. And it was really the final step in our evolution to a company that's fully able to serve the entire homeowner market. We now have a system that can have 100 sensors in it. We've got the wireless range that can cover any size home. We improved the detection algorithms and everything to work in the motion sensors and glass break sensors to work in larger spaces but have fewer false alarms. So it really that whole process of redesigning from, you know, that we kicked off back in 2010 has in many ways continued through to just the beginning of this year.
If I can summarize that answer in three words, it never stopped. They took that second leap and then just kept learning and iterating and putting out new versions of their product and tweaking the marketing. And just now, 8 years later, they feel like they have a good handle on it. But I'm pretty sure that if you talk to Chad in 5 or 10 years from now, he'll say, oh, no, 2018 was just a continuation of the changes. The process kept continuing. We were still learning and evolving. The second leap, in other words, just went on forever. It just launched them into the air to shift and navigate and course correct along the way. And if that's the case, if that's what a leap really is, then maybe the second leap wasn't really a leap at all. Maybe it was just the next part of the first leap. The first leap wasn't just building a business, it was leaping out into the unknown and dealing with everything that comes along the way. I mean, I know I'm digging pretty deep here. This is like a philosophy 101 course. What is the meaning of the word leap? But I think that there's value in pausing to consider it, at least for a moment, because this right here is really the core understanding of what it means to be an entrepreneur, of what it means to actually get into it. Maybe the original phrase is right all along. Take the leap. The leap, one leap, the leap that never stops, the leap that actually never puts you back on the ground. We take the leap because as entrepreneurs, we're not afraid to be up there in the air, always unsure of what comes next, but sure that we can find a way to stay afloat. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonfeifer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Feifer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonfeifer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.